Hello, my name's Philip, and I want to welcome you to this 6:33 podcast based on Matthew 6:33, Seek First the Kingdom of God and His Righteousness. I hope you'll enjoy this podcast. I hope it'll help and encourage you in your walk with Jesus and in your leadership of others. God bless you. We do live in a very strange world, don't we? There are nations where people are completely disenfranchised, whilst an elite few control everything. There can be an extremely rich few in a country in the face, globally, of a very large proportion of people living in extreme poverty. There's enough food available to feed the whole world, but yet there are large numbers of people living in hunger, while other nations are struggling with an epidemic of obesity. Now, all of that is on a global scale, but what about the strangeness of our own lives? There are things that happen to us that we don't deserve, both good and bad. There are emotional and mental ups and downs that hit us when we least expect them, injustices that hurt us too. And then, for Christians, there's prayers that don't get answered, problems and questions that build up, and doubts that never go away. Do you know, as well as all of that being upside down, I love some of the stranger verses in the Bible too. Because the Bible puzzles us sometimes, doesn't it? You know, there are those questions that pop up when we read it, and then they confuse us or disturb us. I get that happening to me too, and I love to see what they might actually mean. Well, here's one I came across recently. In Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 7, we read this: I've even seen servants riding horseback like princes, and princes walking like servants. Well, I haven't seen that specifically, although you may have done. But I have seen that some people rise to the top of the pile, perhaps in work or in church or society at large, who don't, in my opinion at least, deserve to be there, whilst there are some really great people who remain unnoticed and are unable, it seems, to realise their potential and impact their world. And it's so common. And we often complain about it, or perhaps we complain about the individuals where we think there's an injustice being done. A long time ago, I came across a management statement. It says this: people rise to their level of incompetence. People rise to their level of incompetence. What does that mean? Well, some people are really great at doing their job, fulfilling their role, perhaps in a work situation, and then they get promoted to the next level where they fail to function well. That's the level at which they become incompetent. They rise to the level of their incompetence, above their skill level, their gift level. It happens in the workplace, it happens in the church, it happens in all sorts of walks of life. The world is upside down, so that the first are last and the last are first. Now, I know that most of you will recognise that that statement comes from the Bible. Jesus actually said it, and we'll come back to what he's actually saying later on. I want to emphasise, though, that the way I said that phrase before is not the true context for these words, but it just seems true to our natural eyes that things are a bit upside down and a bit back to front in our world. You know, there are biblical examples of an upside down world too. Think of these two men in the book of Esther, Haman and Mordecai. Now, Mordecai was a good man. He'd helped the king to avoid assassination. Later, though, Haman came along, an evil man. He gained the ear of the autocratic dictator and the king and plotted to kill Mordecai to get rid of him. That's not just, it's an abuse of power, and it's an indication of an upside down world. Or think of David and Saul. David had been brought to Saul to help him when his mental health was in a bad way. But the Bible says that he was being tormented by a demon. And by being a gifted court musician, David helped Saul through several bouts of depression. But this was all forgotten when David seemed to have greater success in battle than Saul did. There was this incredibly jealous King Saul. So David went on the run, whilst the God-rejected, petulant, rebellious Saul is still on the throne. It's upside down. It's not fair to David. He didn't deserve it. Well then, what about Elijah and Jezebel? There's God's prophet Elijah, consistently speaking for God to guide the king of the nation and the nation itself in the right ways. But now he's hiding in a cave, fearing for his life, fearing, afraid for doing God's work. While evil Jezebel is lording it over everyone in the palace, including her husband, and setting about to destroy Elijah. It's definitely not fair. Things are upside down. I read from Ecclesiastes 10 before about princes and servants, servants riding on a horseback like princes and princes walking like servants. Well, later on in that chapter, in verse 14, we read this verse. No one really knows what's going to happen. No one can predict the future. Well, that's a bit upside down as well. How do we conduct ourselves in a world like this? Let me suggest just quickly, before we move on, three simple things. First thing we need to do is to develop godly character and aim to see things as God sees them. Thirdly, to trust his ways at all times. Let me unpack that a little bit, give one or two more examples. Developing godly character, aiming to see things as God sees them, and trusting God's ways at all times. When we look at the example of Jesus, we have this Son of God who comes as a servant, this Lord of Lords who washes feet, this provider of bread through miracles who knows what it means to be hungry and thirsty. Lots of other upside down examples as well in Jesus' life. You see, Jesus lived from a different set of values, with a different perspective. He lived with kingdom principles. So what does that mean for us? Well, let me suggest these things. That we need to seek to honour God first and leave the rest with him. That we need to impact the world that we inhabit now. There are plenty of promises of God exalting people, so leave that bit up to him. When we seek to honour God first, we have to leave everything else with him. Jesus lived in first century Israel. He walked from Judea to Galilee. He caught a boat that went across to another region. He walked to other regions. But actually, where he went was pretty small scale. There was a world outside of there, Jesus. But you see, we have to impact the world we inhabit and leave the rest with God. And when we see people getting exalted, sometimes we'll wonder, what's going on? Why is it happening? Well, let's just read some verses from the Bible, from Philippians chapter 2, well-known verses, from verse 3 onwards. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he didn't think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honour and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see there, God exalted him. Jesus was very careful not to. We live, as Jesus said, in an upside down world, the first shall be last, and the last first. Let's come to that statement, because Jesus says this in a couple of different contexts. Matthew 19:30 says this, "Many who are the greatest now will be least important then, and those who seem least important now will be the greatest then." So, appearances are deceptive. Those who seem most righteous may not be. So focus on your heart, not your behaviour. In Matthew 20, verse 16, Jesus says this, "So those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last." The context here is of the story he told of the vineyard owner and his hired workers. And those who started last got paid first. And those who started first got paid last. See, Jesus wants us to realize God doesn't reward us according to our reckoning. Working harder or longer is not the issue regarding how God rewards. Again, it's a heart issue, not a works issue, though we are called to work. And then in Mark 9:33, we read this about Jesus. After they arrived at Capernaum and settled in a house, Jesus asked his disciples, "What were you discussing out on the road?" But they didn't answer because they'd been arguing about which of them was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12 disciples over to him and said, "Whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else." Greatness is about serving in God's kingdom. That's what Jesus is telling us. And this is what we see so clearly in Jesus' example and in his life. So it's the same for us. Absolutely the same for us. Greatness is about serving. Whoever wants to be the first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else. You see, we have to remember that it's God and eternity that will have the last word in our lives. However upside down the world seems now, however bizarrely or unjustly the rewards of this world seem to be allocated. Finally, just in case we were to think that, well, if the only example is Jesus, then it doesn't apply to me because he was the Son of God and I'm only human. Well, at this stage, we need to remember that Jesus did everything that he did as a human being, laying aside the benefits of his divinity, as we read in Philippians 2, to show us how to live as a person filled with the Holy Spirit. And secondly, remember Joseph, remember David, amongst others, ordinary, flawed human beings like us. Though they didn't get everything right, they managed to walk humbly with God. And their exaltation to greatness, Prime Minister of Egypt, King of Israel, came at God's hand, not their own. So don't trust your human instincts when it comes to justice or fairness in this world. I'm not saying we shouldn't be fighting for it on behalf of others, just not on our own behalf. Don't follow the ways of the world in assessing how well or how badly you've been treated. Leave it all with God. Walk humbly. Serve willingly. Keep your heart submitted to God and soft towards others. And allow God the last word about the world's ways and your accomplishments in it. And one day, you will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray together. Oh Lord Jesus, help us not only to look at your example, but to follow your example. Not only to marvel at how great you were and how wonderful you were and how loving you were, but to take all of that and seek to apply it by the power and help of your Holy Spirit into our own lives. Help us to walk humbly before you. Help us to walk humbly before you. Help us to serve others willingly, knowing that we do it in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, help us to keep our hearts submitted to God and soft and gentle and tender and kind and compassionate towards those who are around us. Whether they get on better than we do, or whether they are the oppressed and the ones that are pushed aside. Father God, we thank you that there comes a day when you have the last word on everything, and we trust ourselves now to you for that day. As we walk with you, as we seek after you, as we seek your kingdom and your righteousness, you'll give us everything that you have for us, and we will hear that well done, good and faithful servant, as we walk faithfully with you. So Holy Spirit, fill us again now and help us to walk as Jesus walked, in his precious name. Amen. Thank you so much for listening to this 633 podcast. I really hope it's helped you and encouraged you as you've listened. May you be blessed as you continue your walk with Jesus, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness.